In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The parable of the five loaves and the two fish is something that our church loves. They love it because it speaks to the generosity of God. We have 12 Coptic months each with 30 days, and then we have a small month. Some months we will have more than four Sundays as the calendar works out. And so the church could have used any reading that it chose, but it chose this because, you know, we don't think about the generosity of God. We think about grace. Grace is something that we might more clearly understand as students when we are trying our hardest but still failing. I had an economics professor, Dr. Hans Lind, a German, and I used to have this kind of an idea that if I got one A and one B, that's good enough. I didn't need to try for all A's. That's too much stress. So one A, one B. But I wasn't going to get a B in economics. I was looking at a nice solid C plus. And he was the kind of person that pluses and minuses were very much his game. So at the end, you know, as a lot of times the professors will post the grades outside the door so you can see them in advance of the school sending out the transcript to you. And there I was. I had a B. And the professor, you know, noticed my reaction, you know, because my face was obviously, you know, carrying the surprise and also the satisfaction. I got a B. And you'd have to know this guy. This was a guy who left his office when he came to economics class exactly at the same time. He knew how many steps there were. He knew how much time it would take. He wouldn't allow anybody to distract him. He was going in the hall, and I thought, now there's just no... And he said to me, he said, I helped you out a little. And I was trying to think, he helped me out a little. This is like the Lord's grace. None of us are deserving of the things that we receive from God. That's grace. But as I said in the beginning, I want to speak about generosity. The Lord does not just give you enough to tip you over the edge and put you into the place that you belong. The Lord says, no, take more. But I can't carry more. Don't worry, I'll give you the capacity to carry more. Just take more and keep on taking. And this is what he did with the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, did he not? He started off with the meanest, by mean, I mean the poorest, the meanest type of bread, the bread of poor. People didn't eat wheat bread, they ate barley. And the little kernel of barley is so tough. You know, if you don't have good dentition, you can break a tooth. It was prepared for a child. And think about how the generosity of that child put into motion this whole thing. The Lord didn't say, I'm going to give you a bite. Sometimes this is what my wife says. Oh, it'll be enough. The Lord will bless. And at the end of the meal, I'm still hungry. And I'm going, I missed the Lord's blessing. Well, that's not the way the Lord blesses, my dear wife. He brings satisfaction, satiation. He brings that to you. And then when you are completely satisfied, you look and there's still more. You know, when I was very ill and I came out from the hospital 2 weeks ago, I knew about the story of the young homeless man who had the bike, whose name was Daniel, and I knew what his problems were. What I wasn't prepared for was that one of the people in our church opened up his home to this young man, this homeless young man. He said, come and stay with me. Don't stay outdoors. And the people in the church, quite behind my back, collected money to give this man a way to return to his home. You know, I wanted to weep when I heard this. It was exactly what everybody who has tried to teach and finds himself at the end successful for having taught. The great reward. I asked my father confession. I said, what makes you the happiest in your priesthood? And he said, to see real repentance. Because he was always preaching repentance. He was always saying, you have a problem, pray. Just pray. Continuously pray. And people got tired of hearing it. They didn't know how deep the thing that he was saying was, because it was completely repetitive. I guess there were some people that got tired of the, you know, the fish and the bread, and they were looking around, well, where's the gargier? You know, where's the turnips? Where's the... I'm being facetious, but sometimes we're looking from a priest for entertainment. We want not just to hear the message, especially if the message can be spoken of in such a profound way as using a simple word like love one another or pray for one another. It's too simple. We've heard it before. Yes, but there's nothing greater than that. When I'm speaking about the generosity of the Lord, I'm speaking about what he has commissioned them to do. Now we know that in, you know, St. John Chrysostom, for example, he attributes symbolically the 5 loaves to the Torah and the 2 fish to St. Peter and St. Paul, who brought, grace and truth of Jesus Christ through their preaching. All right, we know these things. We know that the symbol of the full baskets were given to the disciples because it is now going to be your turn to do what I have done. I remember when they were walking together and Peter was meeting beggars, and he said, gold and silver have I none, but such as I have, such as I possess, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, take up your bed and walk. And they did. This is what we do in church. We make people that are paralyzed ambulatory. We do this. We take away those obstacles intellectually and spiritually that prevent them from being whole and moving forward with vitality. We do that. But we don't approach the generosity of God. You see, God doesn't want us just to be good. He wants us to be pure so that we can be with him in his natural state. His goodness will not allow something that is impure. This is why, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and on, this is the core belief of all the Roman Catholics, that there is a purgatory. Because it says that the man whose works on earth were not good are like hay or like wood, and they must be burnt. Those works that were like gold, they will endure the fire. Now, the Orthodox do not believe this. But the one thing that we do believe is that, yes, through the sufficiency of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the perfection of his sacrifice, it was not only propitiate, It was such that it was going to bring about theosis, that we would be like God, that he would, not that just we would be here like little children underneath the arms of our Father's protection. No, but that we would be able to speak to him in ways that had godly depth. His generosity. Not just, you're going to be with me in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Not just that. No. You're going to understand things. I'm going to be able to speak to you as men speak to each other, because I'm going to imbue you with those characteristics and that power that is going to give you the ability. And then you'll know. And then you'll truly be able to appreciate. The generosity of God is something that we don't speak about. We speak about grace all the time. You know, we're happy in life if we get, in the Latin, quid pro quo, this for that, right? We have a contract. You're going to build me a house, I'm going to give you $1 million for the house. Okay, it's a deal. The contractor builds the house, homeowner to be, hands forth the $1 million, everybody's satisfied. That's not generosity. That's not even grace. So we look at the Lord Jesus Christ as I looked at Professor Hans Lind, and I said, wow, that's really something. Now, had Hans Lind been like the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have said, you know what? I detect in you an able mind. Maybe you're just a little bit lazy. You know what I want? I'm going to give you some extra hours, and I'm going to spend time in a tutorial with you so that we have the same mind. You are going to have the mind of an economist. You're going to have the mind of somebody who is going to not just understand, but appreciate and love the subject. And you'll never be lazy again. That's like theosis. I was given grace. We ask for grace. We ask for mercy because we know our sinful state. We ask for things to improve our lot, but the Lord is never satisfied with that. The Lord is never satisfied. He wants us to be like the Father who awaited the return of his wayward son, and he put on him the signet ring, the ring that was a sign that he was of this great and noble house. And when he would press it into a piece of wax, it was there for everyone to see. The whole house was behind his decision. And put on the best robe, and let's make this a festal occasion. Let's put together something so everyone will know how special this is. Because my son who was lost is found. My son who was dead is alive, but not just alive, not just alive with the life that we're aware of. We are aware of life, but the life that the Lord will give is so much more. His generosity is beyond confirmation, contemplation. When I was really sick, you know, I've asked this of many people when they were sick, and I said, what is it that the Lord was trying to tell you, but you didn't have time to listen? So now you're in bed. Your future depends upon the skill of doctors. Your body is completely out of your control. What is the Lord saying now? And when I was very sick, I ask myself the same question. What are you trying to say to me, Lord? He said many things, and I will bring these up as it becomes necessary for parts of sermons. But the primary thing that he said to me was that whatever it is that has befallen you is going to be no more. Whatever it is that you've done by your carelessness, or what was done to you without any fault, however it has happened, you are going to go through this and come out the other side, and you will not be as you were. You will be stronger. I felt this generosity. All around me, I had anger and hatred for the way that I was being treated by the people that were supposed to be supplying me with comfort and care in the hospital. I received none of that. But I received a word from God, whether it was something that he simply prodded me and my mind was reminded of, or whether he spoke to me, I don't know. But I can tell you, he said, you're going to come through. He didn't say why. I don't have an inkling about why. Others have speculated. I won't engage in that. But it could have been, again, like Professor Hans Lind, where the Lord said, because he said more than just this, but he said, you've been a lousy student. You haven't lived up to your capacity. I'm going to give you more time, but I'm not going to do as I have done in the past. I'm not going to give you a little push or a little help. This you're going to have to do. And you know, with that, I signed a paper saying I refuse any more care from the hospital, and I wanted to be, to leave against doctor's orders. And you know, it was only the second time that I saw a doctor was when it says I wanted to leave after signing the certificate. She said, well, don't you know that this and this and this and this and this and this and this? And I said, is this still a hospital, or has it become a prison? It's a hospital. I said, okay, I'm out. I had received my walking papers, not from her, not from my own mind, but from God himself. I don't know what I'm going to do going forward. I seriously don't know what I'm going to do, but I do know this. I'm going to be more assiduous and more determined to get things right according to the gift that the Lord gives me. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.